Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. These are questions as of August 19th, and I'm recording early morning on August 19th. I'm at Lake Constance. I was here to go to the symphony and the opera with Ulrich Kronecker of Future Science, and we have a great meeting tomorrow with German and Swiss subscribers, so very good times for all. Okay, let's dive in. Cash and precious metals. What is the best price for looking at the daily silver price? I think you would mean what's the best source. Basically, silver and gold and precious metals are priced in what's called the spot price. There are literally thousands of sources for the spot price. I use the spot price at silverandgoldormoney.com. We also have financial quotes at the bottom of the page after you log in, so you can check it there. So that's what I use, but there are literally thousands of sites, and you just want to get the spot price. Question, have you heard of reverse cash machines? Story about someone who went to a baseball game, and everything was cashless, but they did have a reverse cash machine where you could put in cash and receive a credit card with a service fee deducted. In my experience, those are pretty expensive. I have not seen a reverse cash machine, but it's pretty sick. I can see why, you know, one of the reasons people want to do this is they don't trust their employees, and essentially its internal controls are easier. Then you went to another place for the weekend, and the concession stand only accepted cash. Yay! We bought hot dogs, chips, beverages, snacks for a crew of 13 kids and grandkids. Anyway, you're coming to the Weston Price Conference, so I look forward to seeing you there. That's a reverse cash machine. Hey. Catherine, a number of years ago, my husband and I converted our traditional IRA to a precious metals IRA. We are located in, it's a state in the United States, had an IRA servicer, and so-and-so is your custodian. We made the initial purchase, etc. And your custodian in the Dakota Depository in Fargo, North Dakota. So you're uncomfortable with having the metal stored in a facility that could be potentially subject to governmental taking. So the only way to avoid that is to have it at home or nearby, which has its own risks. And it really depends on which risk you want to manage and live with. And you can split the difference. You don't have to take everything out, or you can take all out. But there's a reason why people would prefer to have something in their own control and under their control. Here's the reality. I can only tell you, I can't advise you what you can do because I just don't know enough about your circumstance. But at this point, I would never have anything in a 401k or IRA subject to the U.S. government's influence. Only if the history of my situation is the IRS put my 401k under audit right before they came after me with subpoenas. It was very political. And that was it for me in these vehicles. Now, my situation is different than other people, but I think there's certainly a benefit to having it close. You do, if you keep it home, there are many different risks of keeping it at home, and you have to think those through. And I would recommend, if you look at the appendix in the Ask Catherine script, there's a series of links, but one of the last ones is our wonderful Solari report we did on hidden safes. So I think you really need to think through where you're going to put it and how you're going to manage those risks if you move it home. But as for me, at this point, I would prefer to move it out of the IRA. If I had big taxes and fees to pay, you know, I might do that slowly. Every situation is different, but if it were me at this point, I would move things out of the IRA and put them in a place where I control access and I control when and how I get it. Hi, Catherine. You listened to the second quarter wrap-up, Defending Family Wealth and Sovereignty for 5,000 Years. And you mentioned support for the state legislators. So I have some questions. Who are these state legislators? Are they the state senators? If not, then how can I find these people? Are they city council people? And how many important, where can I check their voting or legislative history? Officially, they're state attorney generals. Well, a state legislator is a state senator or a member of the House of Representatives of your states. And you should be able to check their voting record in whatever way your state makes them available. There may be private interest groups, civic groups that also make their voting records available. Your state attorney general also is someone very important who can affect many decisions and enforcements and policies, so I would check in with them. Franklin and I were talking about state legislators because we think those are the people who are best positioned to really create the conditions of sovereignty within a state, but there's a lot that local officials can do. Now, how do you find your good state legislators? You find them by word of mouth and records. I can tell you who, you know, I would turn to in Tennessee, but I don't know what state you're in, and you're going to have to, you know, figure out who is the Senator Frank Nicely in your state. You know, in my state, I want to know who it's going to be Nicely and the people Nicely recommends. With the federal, dear Catherine, with the federal fund rate now at 2.75, is Jerome Powell trying to take a page from Volcker to save the economy? So if you go back to the early 80s, Volcker ran the interest rates way up, and his goal was to essentially defend the international position of the dollar. It wasn't to save the economy. It was pumping and dumping the economy. A lot of people picked up a lot of, you know, cheap land from farmers who got driven off by a pump and dump by the agricultural sort of federal combination of credit and subsidy and sort of the game that was played. So Volcker wasn't trying to save the economy, he was trying to save the dominant dollar position globally, which some could argue would, you know, obviously the subsidy being thrown off to the U.S. population as a result of that dominant dollar position at that time was strong. So is he playing the same game? I think it's there's similarities because the effort to bring the pop, the commodity bull is similar to what Volcker was up to and stop the inflation. But I think it's a very, if you look at the going direct reset, it's a very different game that is afoot. And you have to look at these policies in combination with all the others. You know, the goal is to have the healthcare decisions look totally separate and independent of the central banking decisions, and that's complete hogwash. You know, and if you look at the pump and dump and pump and dump and pump and dump of the economy that's squeezing out the middle class, that's a concern. You know, that's a combined effort. There's definitely cartel and faction competitions, but Powell is part of a team that's operating as a team, so just be careful because we're coming into a period of new healthcare suppression and repression. And the question is, will Powell take that as a time to inject lots of money in and direct it, you know, for another taking advantage of the dump? I don't know. We'll see. But there are definitely similarities to what Volcker was doing to make sure the dollar remained dangerous and dominant on the global stage. FBI raid on Trump. Whitney Webb believes the raid's purpose was to rile up half the nation, leading to civil unrest and war. The January 6th operation didn't work as well as hoped in this respect. I think Webb is right about that, particularly that the January 6th operation didn't work as well. It was clearly very engineered, and it's not working. And I believe they're coming up with Plan B. I talk a little bit about that in Money and Markets this week. You say, I personally don't believe Trump is on the side of the people. So Trump is trying to stay alive, among other things, and I think he's a mixed bag. Anybody who did Operation Warp Speed is not on the side of the people, that's for sure. If you look at his policies that he promotes, what he's saying is deeply resonating with people because they do want law and order, they do want to have police, they do want to have borders, and all these things are exceptionally popular. I'm hoping the court has announced that it will unseal portions of the affidavit used to justify the raid. So I'm very interested to see what that says. If you look at the treatment of the Clintons or Obama on these very issues that appeared to justify the raid, you know, the raid clearly makes no sense. So there's nothing about this raid that makes any sense to me whatsoever. Unless the guys at the Bohemian Grove ordered that Trump be destroyed with a criminal prosecution. You know, so this is basically, they're trying to concoct something or frame something. I don't know. If there's a real reason for that, I'd love to see the affidavit. There were plenty of real reasons to do the same to Obama and Clinton, so I don't I don't, you know, the hypocrisy in terms of the treatment is very clear. Dear Catherine, I hope you are well. I know how busy you are, but I do miss you. We're moving into equity overview. Could you please review and rank in order from your perspective the safest investment to the least safe investment from the list below? What you're asking me to do is impossible. So you list 11 categories of investments, but what you have to understand is the risk associated with any of them is particular to, in most cases, the particulars. So let me give you an example. You list residential real estate. Well, what jurisdiction, where? You know, if it's going to be in Camden, it's going to be unbelievably risky. You know, if it's in Beverly Hills, it's not going to be risky. Referring to a category as safe or not safe is impossible. You know, so no, I can't list these according to safety, but I can make some comments on it. I think generally you're going to be more safe in things that are real and tangible and where sort of fraud can happen and where the custodian and the people you're depending on to preserve or manage or trade that asset have integrity. So the more real the asset, the more clearly you understand it and it makes sense to you, and the more you're dealing with people of integrity, the more safe you tend to be. But here's the magic message that you need to understand. If there is no law, there's no safety in anything. And I'm going to say that again, because no matter how many times I say it, it's not getting through. If there's no law, nothing is safe ever, period, except what you can protect with a gun by yourself, which at the end of the day is not a lot. We're very dependent on civilization. And that is why stop worrying about your individual investments and start worrying about where is the army that's going to make sure law exists. That's what I keep saying. Don't worry about what your assets are. The WEF has made it very clear. They intend for you to have no assets. They intend to take all your assets. So you need an army who's willing to protect the assets of everybody. You know, this is kind of an all or nothing thing. But let me walk you through the different categories. Your first is U.S. Treasuries. And the question I ask whenever somebody asks me, are Treasuries safe? I say to them, do you trust the United States government to keep its word? Yes or no? And then, do you want to finance the activities of the U.S. government? Yes or no? So you have to answer that. I would note that the reports on Yellen's dictates on how the IRS agent $80 billion is going to be spent. And I would point out $80 billion for the IRS. Now that's over a 10-year period, but $80 billion is greater than the national budget for the Russian military. So the Russian military gets $67 billion in a year, and we just authorized $80 billion for IRS agents to come after American citizens. Think about that. Okay, so my understanding is that Yellen's dictate encourages IRS to grab or coordinate with online payments. So if you put money at U.S. Treasury Direct, I'm assuming that if they come in and audit and decide you owe them money, that they can then grab that. We'll see how that works. But you decide whether the United States government word is the word of somebody you trust. And that's for you to answer. CDs, it depends on what bank you're in. I know a CD in my bank, as far as I'm concerned, is unbelievably safe. But I know banks I wouldn't put a dime in. So again, it comes back to the integrity of the, you know, the individuals and the institutions you're depending on. Money markets, same thing. Which money market in a dependable custodian or a custodian that can handle the market risks, or ditto sponsor, or somebody terrible? So I have money in a money market, but I have money market in a bank that I have complete confidence in to do the best it can. Now, there's scenarios where if the U.S. government and the Fed, and backed up by the U.S. military, you know, decide to seize all our assets, all bets are off. There's nothing that bank can do. So again, I come back to the fact if there's no law, there's no safety. That's what you need to understand. Stocks in good companies. So I think stocks in good companies can be high safety if you've done a good job of choosing the companies. But again, it depends on the custodian. There are custodians that I feel will be the sort of last to fail or last to go down. There are other custodians, again, I wouldn't put a dime with. S&P 500, you know, you're never going to find me investing a dime of my money in an index. I just don't, unless I'm hedging. There's a whole bunch of companies in the S&P 500 I want nothing to do with. I'm not going to put my, you know, I worked hard to make money. I'm not going to put my money in that crap. I'm not going to put my money in a pharmaceutical company which is genociding your children. I'm just not going to do that. You know, it's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Finance unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's my, you know, that's me. I don't, you know, you can argue that putting money in Moderna will be a good financial bet. I don't want to have a good, successful financial bet genociding your children. So that's just my personal feeling about the whole thing. Is it safe? I don't know. You tell me. You have to answer that question. Gold. There are different ways of buying gold. You can buy gold through securities, which is essentially a bank IOU priced in gold, or a mining company, you know, credit priced in gold. You can buy gold through a digital mechanism where you can transact digitally and it's stored, you know, through the service. You can buy gold and put it in a depository on an allocated or unallocated basis, or you can buy gold and put it in your possession, either hiding it in a sock or maybe you have a safe or a series of safes. So each one of these has very different risk profiles for, you know, and is designed for different purposes. So I don't know how to answer this generically because, you know, there are ways of buying gold that are very, very safe. There are ways of buying gold that are unbelievably risky. And I can't describe it as if it's one risk profile for one category, let alone vis-a-vis others. Silver, same thing as gold. Residential real estate, what jurisdiction? So I wouldn't touch real estate in certain jurisdictions. Other jurisdictions are relatively hopeful. Commercial real estate, again, what jurisdiction, where? Commercial real estate in Singapore is a great bet. Farmland, again, what jurisdiction, where? So, and then you say, any suggestion you have for safe investment. If you listen to the second quarter equity overview, which I would strongly recommend, permanent, any investment that permanently lowers your expenses, to me, is a relatively safe investment because it's lowering your need for income in the future or your dependency on income. And I think since the government is doing everything it can to make people financially dependent on government money, so they're easy to control, you know, anything that permanently lowers your expenses is going to reduce your risk. I think investing in yourself, your skills, your own enterprise is a great way to go. It depends on your situation. Everybody's unique. And then investing in people. I always tell the story of the father who had five kids, each with a mortgage, and he was very nervous and uncomfortable with investing in the stock market. And I said, well, why don't you refinance all your kids' mortgages? So he did. And I saw him many years later, and he said, well, you know, I missed the up in the stock market, but I sleep like a baby. He was getting, you know, monthly mortgage checks from all the kids who are going to inherit his money anyway, right? Hi, Catherine. I believe I've heard you mention the author of a book about conserving family wealth, but I can't find a title. It's James Hughes, Family Wealth, and you can find a book review and an interview in the library. We put the link here. And I would, again, also recommend that you listen to the second quarter equity overview. Hi, Catherine. I just spoke with a relative, and she said I will be getting some money from an inherited IRA from one of my aunts. She didn't know if it was a plain IRA or not, based off of what you know happening. So you're asking for advice about that. I asked Tim Caban, who's a great financial planner in Pennsylvania, if he could provide an answer. Sometimes when these rules are complex, and since I stopped being an investment advisor in 2018, I never know when I'm out of date on an issue. So I asked Tim if he would respond, and I sent you the response, and I'm putting it here in the script. Feedback. Hi, Catherine. I struggle to follow Tom Lugano, but listen to his interview on Not the BBC because I always glean something. He recommended this restructuring, and I found both. I put the links here. I'm a Lugano fan. He always comes up with these good nuggets, and he has an interesting point of view, a way of looking at things that kind of gets me out of my point of view and saying, that's kind of interesting. Let me think about that. Anyway, so, and you also have some comments on the golden rule and the silver rule. And I appreciate that. But I think Lugano is very authentic, sincere, and interesting as far as I know. I don't read a lot of his stuff all the time, but I have a couple of subscribers send me his stuff. And I'm with you. You know, there's utility in his work. So I appreciate it. This note from a friend who sells insurance in California. Apparently the state of affairs in California is that the insurance commissioner is not allowing any rate changes for any insurance company. Obviously, that means that these companies are losing money. State Farm is the last of the top four insurance companies that continues business as usual. Everyone else is making significant changes to their contracts. We just read an article about Geico dropping out of California. This is pretty scary. It's kind of an Atlas Shrugged story, but it doesn't surprise me. If I was an insurance company, I'd get out of California. I don't know if there's a way to really do California that could be a good long-term business and generate a profit. So I understand why they're getting out. So somebody writes, I was with USAA for years and they did a good job. So when I was an investment advisor, all my clients who were in USAA had all had great experiences. I started to get uncomfortable when they indicated a couple years ago that they would be using biometric ID, et cetera. So I changed to State Farm, where I could visit an office to talk to an agent anytime. Yeah, that's the problem. USAA was online. And, you know, if somebody required a biometric ID, that's when I would say goodbye too. So smart move. Meantime, USAA continues to send mail almost to the point of hounding me. I've requested no contact. I've returned their mail multiple times, but they persist. It feels like surveillance. Creepy. You might consider taking the time to call them to ask them to remove you from their database. Catherine, what if the $21 trillion is not being used for space development, but instead an underground civilization? So, and then you put a lot of information about world governments preparing for an extinction level event by going underground. If you look at the massive investment in building underground facilities, I agree with you, it's significant. And I agree that significant amounts of money have gone into the underground. A couple years ago, I and another really brilliant researcher, or I shouldn't say another, but a brilliant researcher that I'm pleased to be in cahoots with, we decided we would take a major look at every rumored existence of an underground base in the U.S. And we spent 2 years, a couple hours a week, just going through every set of rumors, every location, and estimating how many bases we thought there were. A lot of it started with the work that Richard Souder did that was published by Richard Dolan. And Richard Dolan has reviewed and given a lot of great lectures on underground bases. If you go into the library, you'll find a great interview with Richard Dolan on underground bases. And if you don't know anything about this area, I strongly recommend it to you. But anyway, so this researcher and I spent 2 years sort of going through every state and every report and estimating how many underground bases we thought had been built, and came out with an estimate of approximately 170. If you look at the financial investment that would take, it is a big number, because if you look at the cost of building an underground base on doing the construction, it's one cost. Doing it on a secret basis can multiply the cost by many, many times, and then maintaining it on a secret basis many, many times. So, and I appreciate that all the classification and military and secrecy rules have made it easier and easier and cheaper and cheaper. But I'm with you, there is a very significant investment, not just in underground bases, but underground transportation systems. And I think if you're a subscriber and you're not familiar with this aspect of our world, I would go into the library and strongly recommend that interview with Richard Dolan on underground bases. If you have never looked behind the black budget, I also recommend Richard's book, UFOs for a 21st Century Mind. We always have it in the best books for the next year in our annual wrap-up. And I just think it can help you understand what's going on. Now, I've always said my biggest concern is, what are the geophysical risks that Mr. Global knows about and that we don't know about? And I do think that that is one of the drivers behind, you know, whatever they're doing underground. I would note, though, if you're a government, you have to have a plan for the worst case. So even if you think the chances of, for example, an EMP attack are only 5 or 10%, you have to provide for continuity of government. And of course, that means you're going to have significant underground bases. And given all the weaponry that they're fielding, I believe in the satellite, you know, in space from satellites, you know, from the orbital platform, you're going to have undergrounds. One of the things you say is even a nation of Taiwan runs a massive underground Air Force base. My guess is that these underground bases are all around the world and the transportation links are all around the world. And so we have an entire breakaway civilization, you know, living, working, and transporting themselves underground. So it's definitely there. Hi, Catherine. I have a question about purchasing a quarter section of land with highly trusted individuals. The comments made in past money and markets suggest there's likely a softening in the market, partially due to inflation and interest rates. For clarification, was property in urban areas the topic of conversation? I was talking about all real estate everywhere. You know, when interest rates rise and the pressure comes off commodities, you generally have all other things being equal, which they never are, but a softening in real estate. And we're definitely seeing a softening in residential housing. And I think whether or not you're getting a softening in a particular area is depends on the local market. So if you're in Denver, the softening is not going to be as great as, you know, the softening in, again, Camden, New Jersey. For some reason, I'm picking on Camden today. Again, it's impossible to give you a generic answer. My understanding is that rural property that could be used for agricultural grazing is not part of that assessment, only because the demand to own and control real estate is very, very strong. So you're right. I would expect farmland to be, all other things being equal, again, which they never are, would be a relatively strong area. Question, how safe or unsafe is a civilian job in the U.S. Navy? I know a young man, 23, an engineer, is about to transition from contractor to employee of the U.S. Navy. Is a civilian job in the U.S. military risky these days, especially for Christian or someone who does not follow the mainstream narrative? It depends on the area you go into, so there's a lot of particulars here. If you're going into the black budget side, it's different than if you're going into the straight overt side. A young man with an engineering background can get great training and experience in the Navy. I would say the problem right now is going to be health mandates. So if the Navy is going to mandate a vaccine, you know, he could die. So it could get very, very risky. I would say the problem with the Navy right now is health mandates and vaccine mandates. I'm trying to discourage this person from going that route, instead looking for a job with a small local family-owned company with similar values. Now, if he's going in a civilian job, then he can go in and be free to resign at any time if they mandate a vaccine and he is smart enough not to take it. That's what I would, you know, I don't know. He can get a lot of good training and experience in the Navy, so I can understand why he might want to do it. But I think, you know, long run, you're going to be much safer in a small family-owned company with similar values. I'm with you there. Question, do you truly believe they are attempting to genocide everyone in an equal fashion? You say, do you still truly believe? So I've never believed that, so I'm not sure why you're saying, do I still believe that? I never believed that. So what I do think is the great poisoning affects most everyone. And that is definitely lowering life expectancy. If you look at what's happening with the injections, I think it's very spotty. And it looks to me, the pattern is compatible with quotas by country and state on how much you have to reduce the population. I talked about a letter that Jacob Nordegaard had found proposing that the every nation be given a quota of how much they had to reduce their population, and the quota would be enforced by trade and credit embargoes. And so the pattern of reducing the population would be different in every country. And if you look at how the injections are rolling out, it certainly looks compatible with that. Somebody posted a story that we almost ran in Money and Markets about Minneapolis Teachers Union contract calls for layoffs of white teachers first. So it's I can't fathom that this is legal, because it is entirely racist. Anyway, but we cut it just because we had a couple great stories in the financial lane we wanted to bring in. And a lot of this stuff is designed to, you know, there is a concerted effort to start a civil war and turn people against each other, divide and conquer. And I think this is more of the same. Although if you're one of the teachers being laid off, it feels horrible. I appreciate that. And my prayers are with you. At the same time, who would want to be in a union? Who would do this? So, you know, that's a union you shouldn't be putting money into. Hi, Catherine, we stayed at a farm, B&B in West Virginia. The farmer was explaining the cross-pollination of GMO seeds to the organic seeds, making some of their crops less and less successful. I wonder if this is why the indoor gardening may end up being better. I think that that is likely contributing. It's one of the things contributing to the growth of indoor farming. You know, it's interesting. I know some people who have been growing indoors as well as outdoors, and it's been a lot of work to kind of figure out how to grow indoors, but they've been able to do it, including in their homes. And they're looking very smart now, because if you look at the problems with spraying, the problems with weather warfare, the problems with crime, there's a lot to be said to sit down and take the time to build an indoor growing capacity, you know, certainly within a greenhouse. John Titus' question. So my curiosity has piqued. I just heard John say live 35 minutes outside of Fort Wayne. My parents live in X, which is 35 minutes outside of Fort Wayne. I know he moved, but anyone know where he lived in Indiana? I'm sure we have a mailing address somewhere, but I don't know what it is. And I'd rather John disclose that if he wants to. One of the videos he made has him riding his bike along the roads in Indiana near his home. So you can take a look at that video and maybe you can identify where he lived. Dear Catherine, I just watched Greg Hunter's interview with Dr. Long. So Teresa Long is a flight surgeon with a very impressive resume and experience, and she's in Alabama. She was a hero of the week last year when she provided an affidavit to American frontline doctors that was beyond courageous. Anyway, so I was amazed that Greg was finally able to get her on USA Watchdog. It was a great interview, and we posted it at Soleri, and she was a hero, is a hero, great and brave doctor. Teresa Long, I'm with you, and that link is in the notes if anybody wants to, or just go to USA Watchdog and watch the interview with Teresa Long. It's frightening. You absolutely, if you do a search at Soleri for Teresa Long, you'll pull up her hero commentary, and we have a link to the affidavit, and it's just unbelievable. Hi, Catherine. As there are many aspects of coming clean a reality, I just wanted to chime in on one aspect that I've recently undertaken. I recently got my heavy metals urine test done. Holy moly, the results were interesting. Two metals were elevated, one a concern yet explainable, but another was off the charts beyond red cesium. Did I pronounce that right? It is not easy to get poisoned by that, and there's nothing I can think of that could have done it other than air, food, and water. I used the same test lab you've recommended and confirmed their test is for the stable, naturally occurring kind, which is not necessarily dangerous since I'm not showing any physical signs of radioactive cesium, like from Fukushima cesium-137 poison produce fish. It's a real mystery. But that could be there too. Either way, time for a detox, and I will second your encouragement that folks get their heavy metals tested. That's a 24-hour urine test, and I just think heavy metal poisoning is a serious problem, and we can all stand to detox more. I detoxed down from very significant heavy metal poisoning that happened after I'd been poisoned during the litigation. I still have a lot more I should do, and my problem is I do it with oral chelation, and I cannot think and work while I'm doing oral chelation. I don't know how I did it the first time. Extreme poverty was probably the logic of how I could keep working. Anyway, cheers and hope to see you in October at the Wise Traditions Conference. We put some of the links to some of the Soleri reports we've done on detox, including the original one I did with Laura Thompson, who was the person who guided me in my first two-year-long detox. That was amazing. Please, can you tell me where on your website are the forms for families to use before injecting their children? Just go to home.solaria.com/forms. The link is in the script. But if you go to the search box and do COVID-19 forms, you'll get it too. I hope this email finds you well. I wanted to see if you had any thoughts, opinions on the Christian health sharing plans below. Many homeschoolers in South Dakota use these plans, and there are mixed reviews on what they choose to cover or not cover. We're looking to get off our $3,000 per month COBRA policy with UnitedHealthcare and are searching for an affordable, quality, catastrophic policy for a family of five. You posted three. The only one I'm familiar with is Samaritan Ministries. I used that for several years and was very satisfied, but I never had to draw on it. I just paid into it, but I never used it. I do have a AAA policy for transportation accidents, because the thing you're going to need the traditional sort of, you know, hospital system for is if you have a trauma expert, which is likely to be cars or transportation. So what I did was I combined Samaritan with a AAA accident and transportation policy, and I made sure I had the maximum for any kind of transportation accident. So that would be my recommendation. I would add the AAA. There are other transportation-related associations who I'm sure also can provide that kind of insurance, but I had a very good experience with Samaritan, but again, I didn't have to draw on it. Local gatherings. Dear Catherine, first of all, thank you for all you do. Listening to you on Solaria helps to keep me grounded, informed, and turning forward. Although I have a work conflict that weekend, so you're coming to Weston Price. That's wonderful. I'll see you there. And then you found this wonderful former campus of Judson College available for sale. I think it's in Alabama. Wow, doesn't that look beautiful? If only I was a billionaire, I would seriously take a look at that one. I would love to find a former college campus that we could buy and start a university and a cathedral. It would be a hub and an intelligence network. That's the goal, is to do an intelligence network that supports a human culture. Then somebody sent a link to an interview with Robert Young on sort of the systemic poisoning. I think a lot of the conundrum can be solved by incorporating more than just feelings and emotion. What is cut out of the equation in today's society is reason and analogical thinking in tandem with empathy. Yes, I couldn't agree more. But remember, childishness is really encouraged. Immaturity is really encouraged. All power begins with the ability to take responsibility. You look at a problem and you say, it's my problem, I'm going to fix it. But you own it, you take responsibility. And in the United States, the current culture and system is designed to get people to not take responsibility, to make them helpless, to put them in a victim mentality, because then they are incapable of creating, organizing, and building power. It's a way of training people to be powerless. And then you say, when I need a pick-me-up and dust-off moment, I go and watch a couple of financial rebellions. That usually does the trick. We have fun. I love doing, both Carolyn and I love doing things with Polly Tommy. We think she's fabulous. Trump raid. Biden DOJ crosses the Rubicon with Robert Barnes. Okay, so Barnes did a description of the raid. I would like to see the affidavit. I want to see what... I think there are two options. There's something there that's legitimate. That's one possibility. It's also a possibility the guys of Bohemian Grove just ordered a frame up. Even if there is something there, the hypocrisy vis-a-vis the treatment of Obama or Clinton or Bush is, you know, you could cut it with a knife. Dark Journalist Special Report, FBI Raids Mar-a-Lago. A Dark Journalist did a great interview with Farrell. Farrell always has very astute comments in a situation like that. Then there's a warning from Armstrong on what's going to happen next year, and he blames socialism. I just think that's... I'm not a big believer in black boxes, although it isn't hard to predict a civil war in 2023, because it's 2022 and we're in a civil war right now. So But I don't think socialism the problem. I think organized crime is the problem. If you've watched the James Bond movies, we're up against Spectre. We're not up against, some kind of communist or socialist moves were financed by Wall Street. So let's be clear. They were hits, and they were hits by people engaged in organized crime. Go read Anthony Sutton's Wall Street trilogy. This is an old game. The Epoch Times did a good bit on research on January 6th and published a documentary. It has a paywall, so I'm not sure the link will work. I had to log in, and I always avoid logging into Epoch Times, but I did log in on this one, and I watched about 15 to 20 minutes, and you're right, it's very good. I mean, this was an engineered operation. Someone posted the 2015 scenario design on hiccups in the food system, and that's a very good link. I thank you for that. We'll post it and archive it. And you say get the freezer with the capacity that you need before anybody starts to. Yeah, there's real trouble in the food supply now, and it's going to get worse. Then something on could the Alex Jones trial have been planned and orchestrated in advance? I'm with Titus. We discussed it last week on Money and Markets. Something, if you watch the video of the trial, that's not a trial. That's not a real trial. It's not like any real trial John's ever been familiar with or I've ever been familiar with, but I defer to him because he has significant litigation experience, much more than me. Somebody sent in the links on the executive order related to digital money that Biden did. I don't believe CBDC in the United States will go live on December 13th. I don't think they're ready to do that, but I just don't think they can be ready, but I could be wrong. Apparently, the IB Times is announcing that Kiyosaki warned about the 14067, which is the executive order. And he calls, the headline says that he calls CBDC creation communism. Just stop with the isms. This is just organized crime. A small group of people have decided that they're going to return the human race to slavery and have complete control. It has nothing to do with any isms, whether it's capitalism, communism, socialism. The only ism it has to do with is psychopathy. So I go back to the James Bond movie. We're dealing with Spectre here, okay? Spectre. They have absolute power corrupts, absolutely. So stop with the isms. Denmark bans COVID shots for under 18 years old. Thank God, that's moving in the right direction. Somebody posted an old link to a 2017 article that Taibbi wrote on Fannie and Freddie, which I think is very interesting. This link I looked at, but I forget what it was. Let me go look at it. Yeah, it's the lecture by Giordano. U.S. government targets citizen noncombatants with neurological weapons. This is a good one. Giordano is a good one to watch. I'm just going to put the title of this in the notes. Giordano and Charles Morgan are good ones to watch to understand mind control, essentially neurological weaponry. Anybody who tells you that we have a problem of mass formation hysteria is a bunch of bunk. We have high-tech, military-grade neurological weapons being used on the human race through digital mechanisms, smartphones, cell towers. This is delivering, we think these things are for our convenience, wrong. They're to deliver, they're to make surveillance possible and deliver mind control. And using AI and software, your mind control program can be custom tailored for you at extremely low cost. It's all automated. Everybody needs to watch this because you need to understand there is no mass hysteria. But there is ingestion of enormous amounts of neurological weaponry. And that's one of the reasons we ask that you protect yourself. Use technology with discernment and understand this weaponry exists. And this weaponry is used to talk you into becoming addicted to gambling or addicted to porn, as well as sell you SUVs that you can't afford. So just understand in your decision-making process, you need to understand that I work a lot online. I'm ingesting huge amounts of this stuff, and it's very frustrating to have allowed myself to get dependent on these tools that come with this kind of punch. A link on Australia Central Bank working with the BIS to launch digital currency currency systems, one I talked about when I wrote about and talked about the sovereign immunity problem with the BIS. It's been extended by their innovation hubs that they're doing with countries around the world to help launch the digital currency system. And you better believe they're talking about a global digital currency that will ultimately end up being totally centrally controlled. Augustine Karstens did you the service of explaining that exactly in 56 seconds. And if you don't understand it, please go to the Soleri homepage, click on the Cash Everyday link, and watch the video of Karstens explaining that they will have total control of you and your money centrally, and Richard Warner explaining it's going to come with a chip they want to put in your body. Okay, then there's a link to food quality issues, a grain mill destroyed in eastern Oregon, something on smart meters coming. In fact, that person asked me if I could find the group that got an opt-out in Memphis, and I'm looking for that. That email is on my home computer, and I'm traveling, and I've got a travel laptop that I don't have the Memphis material on, but I'll see if I can find it and get it to you, if not now, when I get back to the Netherlands. Okay, someone put enormous number of great links on air purifiers. This is fascinating and very interesting and useful. I can't thank you enough. That's just the kind of intelligence we really appreciate here. And if you look at, I know nothing about air purification, but this is fascinating. You clearly do. Then somebody posted, Catherine has brought this very serious matter to our attention on multiple occasions. Attached are some very informative interviews regarding the details of the movement. This is transgender child abuse is the only way I can describe it. Investigative reporter Jennifer, I think it's pronounced Bilek, has followed the money behind the emergence of the transgender movement and has uncovered a deeply unsettling, massively profitable agenda targeting minors along with a powerful attack machine protecting it. Worth every minute of your time. I watched the Christina Borgensen interview of Jennifer on Whistleblower Newsroom and sent it in to, we'll post it in our blog, but I agree it's very, very good and very, very useful. And she's quite a, Jennifer's quite a clear thinker, so I appreciate that. Then somebody sent a link to a piece by, I guess you'd call it a book by Havel called The Power of the Powerless. And this looks fascinating. I really appreciate it. So I'm going to take a look at that. Then the subscriber wrote in pointing out that the $80 billion for the IRS and the new IRS enforcement, the new Inflation Reduction Act, is greater than the entire Russian military budget last year, $67 billion. Now, the $80 billion is in fact for a 10-year period, but I agree with you. That's an excellent comparison. That does put it... So the U.S. government is providing enough money for IRS enforcement to basically land the equivalent of the Russian military, including hypersonic missiles on your head. Kind of says it all. Someone posted a link regarding the Lancaster farmer, Amish farmer, who was fined $250,000 for repeated food safety violations. There are controversies about some of the sources, so I'm recording Pete Kennedy next week, and I'm going to ask him for an update on this. Then a couple more posts, both on the power of the powerless and, again, Dark Journalists with Dr. Farrell. And that's it for the week. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you have a great day. Thank you for your questions, and thank you for joining me on Ask Catherine. I will be back with questions 2 weeks from now, so if your question didn't get rolled into this Ask Catherine, it'll get rolled into the next one. You have a great weekend and a great week next week.